It's Monday, the 23rd of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Vin Baker. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Boyega. And if you want to be like Boyega and sponsor one episode of the podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and then you can be a sponsor for the day. Also, big thanks to Moneyball for being the sponsor of the podcast moving forward. They are Australia's only daily fantasy sports site, so make sure you're involved there. I've been talking to a few listeners to the podcast, and I had one of the listeners who's made 10 times their money back already. So pretty big up, money being won by some of the listeners to the Red Rock podcast. So I'm very happy about that. Get on there and make sure you're getting involved in the money. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. All right, games. There was a few of them. The week is over. Hopefully you had a big victory in your seasonal leagues. Hopefully your roto team moved up the standings. Hopefully you collected some money in daily fantasy, whether it's on Moneyball or on one of the sites in the States. Hopefully you had a good end to the week. I'm blabbering.
Let's get to it.
Thank you, Michael Bolton. The monstrous line of the night, Anthony Davis. He's back. He's two games back from injury. He played 39 minutes, 32 points for Davis. He had 19 rebounds. He hit a three. He had an assist. But where he really sort of makes his money is the two steals, four blocks, 11 of 22 shooting, and 9 of 11 from the free throw line. So this is like vintage Anthony Davis, as much as we can have vintage for a guy who's in his fourth season. This is why you paid up the big money in an auction. This is why you paid up the big money in a daily fantasy league. This is why you spent your first pick on Anthony Davis. The injury concerns are still there, and they're still real. He's already missed two lots of games this season due to separate injuries. But when he gets out there, he can put up numbers that are equal to the best in the game. So a huge night from Anthony Davis. That's two massive games since he's returned as well. He's averaging 13 rebounds in his last three. His blocks, probably not quite where you want them yet. They're 2.5, which is still really good, but he was pushing three last year, so you'd like him to get back up to that. But everything else is basically at a similar level to where he was last year, except that he's added that 0.7 threes. But what's that's done is it's dropped his field goal percentage. So instead of being a 54% shooter, he's down at a 47% shooter this year. So you're going to want him to start coming back up from that. Maybe that keeps him out of those top two or top three spots in rankings at the end of the season, if that's something that continues. He's currently attempting two threes a game. He's hitting 0.7 of them. So he's not converting at a terrible rate, but it is affecting his overall field goal percentage. It's probably a little bit nitpicky. Everything else he's doing is really good. But some of the reason you paid up for Davis was big field goal percentage on huge attempts. And he's currently sort of not delivering in that area. The waiver wire line of the night. Sticking in New Orleans, we're going with Ish Smith, who played another 30 minutes and went 17, 9, and 8, 3 steals and a block, 6 of 15 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. I think it was, now maybe it wasn't yesterday, maybe the day before on that show, I mentioned that I think that when Norris Cole comes back, he's going to be pushed behind Ish Smith in the rotation. That's how well Ish Smith is playing. I can't see how that's going to be false. He's playing too well. And Norris Cole, I don't know if you've heard me talk about Norris Cole before. He's just a garbage player. He's not a good basketball player. Ish Smith is a really fun player. He's super quick. He's really fast. He's a great passer. He's averaging 8 assists a game this year and a steal, 11 points. He's only owned in 30% of leagues. He needs to be owned in pretty much every league at this point. Yes, Tyreke Evans is coming back in a week, but I think that Smith's still going to have a decent role. He's not going to play 29 minutes. We can pretty much scrub that. He's not going to get 29 minutes, and his role is going to continue to lessen as Drew Holiday comes back. But he might get 24 minutes. Tony Douglas will be the first guy out of the rotation when Tyreke Evans comes back, and I don't see Norris Cole really cutting into Smith because he's been extremely useful for this team. Over these last four games, he's at 16.5 points, 5 rebounds, 8.8 assists and a steal on 50 and 90 as his percentages. Look, just crazy, crazy good numbers. He has to be owned until you see exactly what the Pelicans end up doing with him. You said Tyreek would definitely cut into his production. Norris Cole, not so much. Norris Cole's not a good player, and you can't ignore what Smith's done. So he needs to be owned, yeah, pretty much everywhere at this point. The young gun of the night, going away from New Orleans this time, I'm going to go with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He played 31 minutes. He seems pretty much cemented as the starting small forward in Brooklyn. 9 points for Hollis-Jefferson, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals, and 1 block. So the 9 points is not where he makes his fantasy money. It's in the other category. 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals, 1 block. It's a really, really solid return from Hollis-Jefferson. His last 4 games, 8.5 points. That's terrible. But 5.5 rebounds, 2.5 steals, 0.3 blocks, 50% shooting. He's giving you a little bit of value there. He's probably going to project as a Tony Allen, decent rebounds with big steal numbers and a solid field goal percentage. But that can definitely be used in standard leagues. Now, he's not a must-own player by any stretch. He's more of a, ooh, I need some steals. Can he, if he plays 4 games, he might give me 7 steals. He might give me 8 steals for a week. And that can be really useful. He's a real defensive guy. He's also in those 4 games probably going to struggle to give you 30 points. He might give you 25 to 30 rebounds, though, and that could be really useful, too. So just, he's to be used in certain situations. I don't see him losing minutes at this point. He's not going to lose him to Markel Brown. He's not going to lose him to Wayne Ellington. The only guy who's there's a potential that Hollis-Jefferson lose minutes to is Bojan Bogdanović. And he's way down in the rotation at the moment. Hollis-Jefferson is clearly being preferred. The Nets had a big win today, and the other guys around him are all better offensive guys. Jarrett Jack, Joe Johnson, Brooke Lopez, Thad Young. He doesn't need to play offense as well as those guys. He can just concentrate on defense, and it worked out pretty well. And I think it holds true for him moving forward that he's going to have this role as a defensive guy, and he'll get you some rebounds, he'll get you some steals. As I said, this is not for everybody, this is not for every team, but from a situation where he wasn't considered really at all, now you have to consider him for certain needs. I think his roto value is probably going to be a little bit limited, and you have to be able to absorb the hit in points you're going to get, but he's playing really well at the moment, and you have to consider Hollis-Jefferson in most leagues, assuming it fits what your team needs to do. Now, the dud of the night, back to New Orleans. I'm going to go with Drew Holiday. He played 23 minutes, but 8 points with only 4 assists. Nothing else. No threes, no rebounds, no steals, no blocks. A poor free throw night, 2 of 4, so he actually hurt you in that area. It's not a terrible night from Holiday. He actually fouled out as well, which is not ideal. Now, he wasn't going to get many more minutes than the 23 anyway, but not a good night in that respect. But there weren't that many terrible performances from the highly owned player, so he sort of gets it by default without it being a horrible night from Drew Holiday. He's having an odd season. He's still averaging 11.5 points and 5 assists with a steal a game and a 3, and you put that out to 36 in per 36 numbers. His numbers are better than last season. He's averaging more assists. He's averaging same threes. He's scoring more points. He's giving slightly less steals. But he's pretty much on the same. He's producing exactly what he normally does, and that's obviously pretty good. What we need to do is hope that he can get his minutes back up, soon, sometime in December. So if you own him, it is hard at the moment, but I would still be holding him unless you're just right down the bottom of a league. Now, he was someone that I didn't advocate drafting at all. I was against drafting him. But if you've made that decision and drafted him, I think that you have to stick through it unless you're just completely struggling and you're just nowhere near being able to field a competitive team. And then you might have to move him on. But he's got top 50 value moving forward. And that's really hard to find off the waiver wire. The daily fantasy value play of the day was Rondae Hollis-Jefferson again. He put up 34.4 FanDuel points at a salary of 3,800. So if you had him in your daily lineup, I reckon you'd be pretty, pretty, pretty pleased. All right, let's get into these games. Let's talk about them now in a little bit more detail. The first game, the early game, the Los Angeles Clippers and the Toronto Raptors were up first. That's just a real disappointing performance from the Clippers. Just really not good at all. We'll talk about the Raptors. That's a huge win for them. Damari Carroll was on fire. 21 points for him. 5 rebounds, 4 steals. He is available on waiver wires. It shouldn't be the case. You need to make sure that Damari Carroll is owned. He was dropped in a lot of spots. He was dropped in one of my 10-team leagues a couple of weeks ago, and I picked him up, and I'm pretty happy with that. Kyle Lowry, just a brutal field goal percentage day, and that's one of those days that when it happens on a Sunday, that can cost you your weekly head-to-head matchup. He went 2 of 11, which is 18%, 13 points, 10 assists, 3 steals. So he still contributed, and 8 of 8 from the free throw line, but not a great shooting night. And DeMar DeRozan went 21-6-3, and he was equally as bad, almost 4 of 16 from the field, and he had 13 of 14 from the free throw line. What was interesting is that Raptors went with Bismack Biyombo as the center. There's a couple of things to look at here. Biyombo played 31 minutes. He had 6 points. He had 14 rebounds. We know who Biyombo is. He's a guy who gets rebounds. He's a guy who usually blocks shots. That didn't happen here. But you're usually expecting a shot or two blocked out of him. He's not going to score. He's going to hurt your free throws, and he's not going to shoot enough attempts to really help your field goal percentage. So to me, he's not a must own. And this is the other thing. They were playing against DeAndre Jordan. Yeah, Bismack Biyombo, DeAndre Jordan. I can see that being more of a matchup for Biyombo. He plays against a team like the Warriors. I don't think they can run him out there 31 minutes. So before we run and go and grab Bismack Biyombo off the wire in standard leagues, in deeper leagues, of course, in 14-team leagues, yeah, definitely. Before we go and run out and grab him in other situations, I don't know if it's going to happen this way all the time. What was interesting is Luis Scola played 31 minutes. He went 20-8. Now, if you're looking for someone to own in a 12-team league, it looks like it's going to be Scola, because he's going to take on that offensive position that Jonas Valanciunas had. Patrick Patterson only played 14 minutes. So there's not much value there. James Johnson only played 7. So Scola and Biyombo got the biggest boosts here. But it all depends on what you want. Do you want a scoring bump? Do you want a rebound bump? And I think that there's going to be a situation where Scola plays a bit more center when they're against a team who's not quite as big as what the Clippers are, and that will reduce Biyombo's minutes down to mid-20s, and that might not be a situation you want to get yourself involved in. Corey Joseph's hot run looks like it's slowing down. 24 minutes, which is still okay, but he was getting 29 minutes before, and those extra 5 minutes are making a difference. 6 points, 4 rebounds for Corey Joseph, and in a 10-team league, you can't really hold Joseph. In a 12-team league, he's getting onto the borderline of do I keep holding this guy. I talked about DeAndre Jordan before. 13 and 15 for him, a steal, 5 blocks, pretty big night, one of his better nights in recent memory. Blake Griffin just struggled though. 9, 6, and 4. 2 steals. Not a great night for Blake. Let's just chalk that up to a bad night. A bad night for the whole Clippers team, basically. Chris Paul, 13, 5, and 11 with a couple of steals. JJ Redick, good to see him getting sort of back in the groove. 17 points with 3 threes, 4 rebounds. Not much else, but that's why you own JJ Redick. Paul Pierce played 19 minutes back from the rest. 2 points. He's not ownable. And Lance Stephenson, look, I'm shocked he even got 5 minutes. Jamal Crawford, 8 points in 29 minutes, and Austin Rivers played just 19. So with all the pieces back now, guys like Crawford, he's not a must-own player. Rivers, clearly not. Stevenson, of course not. Paul Pierce, no. It's still just the 4 guys. Jordan, Paul, Griffin, and JJ Redick. The rest of the bench minutes, not much to really see with those guys. The Phoenix Suns and the New Orleans Pelicans. Eric Bledsoe left the court with an injury at one point. He did return, so it doesn't look to be bothering him. He had a big night, 29-7-6 with 4 threes, and Brandon Knight went 19-3-7 with 2 threes and 2 steals. A bad shooting night from Brandon, but everything else was pretty good. Markieff Morris, all you Markieff Morris owners, you'd have to be happy with that. A triple one for him, 17 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. And probably most importantly, he played 36 minutes. So everyone who dropped Markieff Morris, I think it's going to end up being the wrong decision. I think he should comfortably be a top 100 player this season. There are going to be nights where he struggles, but I think that he's due for this might be the step to get him back going, but he is capable of this, and it was good to see him get the minutes. PJ Tucker played a whopping 40 minutes here. The Suns went really small. Tyson Chandler was limited to 16 minutes. 1 point for him, 10 rebounds, and a block. Not the greatest night from Chandler, and I'm getting a lot of questions. Do I drop Tyson Chandler? Look, it's getting to the stage where possibly you have to, because he's just not getting used. He's barely playing minutes at the moment. The Suns are running a rotation that's not involving him. He's not scoring. His field goal percentage is way down. I'm okay dropping Tyson Chandler under the right circumstance. PJ Tucker, 40 minutes looks good. 12 and 8 with 2 threes, but it's just happened so infrequently that I don't think we need to worry too much there. Mirza Teletovic is getting himself pushed into the rotation more, which I really like. He should never have been buried at the start of the season. He had 11 points in 24 minutes with 3 threes, but he's really just a source of threes and points. And TJ Warren got 9 points, all of them from three. I don't think we'll see that ever happen again. And Devin Booker looked really comfortable here. 15 points in just 16 minutes. The important thing is he got 16 minutes. So deeper league guys will want to pay attention to Devin Booker. Thankfully, he got more minutes than Ronnie Price. Thankfully, he got more minutes than Sonny Weems. And that's the way it should continue, because he does have some ability. He could be a streaming guy for standard leagues for threes at some point. But for now, we're just sort of keeping an eye on the way that Booker's developing. He's never going to get starters minutes with Bledsoe and Knight there. And he's not really going to be big enough to play the PJ Tucker spot. So there's a lot of... it's just watch and see and stream in on a low schedule night. For the Pelicans, I've already talked about a lot of their guys, but one player I didn't talk about was Ryan Anderson, 29-5 with 4 threes. Another big scoring night from Anderson. He has been on fire lately. He was a guy that I was down on heading into the season, but he's really played well. Does it drop off when Tyreek returns and when Drew gets more minutes? There's a possibility of that. So if you want to sell high on Anderson and get a top 50 guy back, I'm all for it. I don't know if anyone would buy that, but there's a lot of Ryan Anderson love in fantasy circles. People love Ryan Anderson. They love him to a degree that his talent doesn't always necessarily add up to. So if you have someone who's buying into the fact that he's ranked in the 30s at the moment, averaging 19-7 with 2.5 threes, I'd be looking to move him, because I think that Tyreek will hurt his production. I'm not worried about Omer Asher, because at the moment he is just pure garbage. But I'm not selling too low. It has to be high. It has to be a top 50 guy to get back for Ryan Anderson at this point. And if it doesn't fit what your team needs, then don't do it. And that's what comes down to a lot of these things. I see a lot of ad drop questions or trade questions. And to me, a trade, if someone says, oh, I want to do a trade of, let's see an example. What's a good example? Hassan Whiteside for Brandon Knight, whatever it might be. I'll look at that and go, all right, you can make a case. Brandon Knight's been a top 20 guy. Whiteside's like a top 12 sort of player. Relatively fair. But it changes the entire makeup of your team. So to me, it's all just, why do you want to do the trade? Do you want to completely change the way your team looks? Because that's what you do. You're going to lose a stack of points. You're going to lose a stack of assists. You're going to lose a stack of threes, but you're going to get your rebounds and blocks up. And that might be what you want to do. But I think a lot of people, you make these trades and don't realize that, oh, I might be getting the best player back, and that's Hassan Whiteside, but it completely just doesn't work with the rest of my team. So you really do have to pay attention to that when you're looking at trades or waiver additions or anything like that, is that make a trade that makes your team better, not just because you think you're getting the best player. And it goes back to my preseason tenet of don't draft the best player, draft the best player for your team. Or something like that. I can't remember the exact phrase I had. It's not about the best player. It's about making the best team. And the same goes with trades and free agency throughout the season. I mentioned Omer Asik. He's not getting any minutes. He's not doing anything. 2 points for him in 15 minutes. 4 rebounds. He's just not a factor. And Alonzo G played 38 minutes. He's someone who just does nothing with minutes. Although 8-7-5 with 3 steals is not a horrible night. But there's still no place for him to be owned in pretty much any league. Eric Gordon had another hot one as well. 24-4 with 5 threes and 2 steals. He's been really, really good. But like Anderson, I think that he is going to have a bit of a drop-off when these other guys return. The Boston Celtics, Marcus Smart, has now been ruled out for 2 weeks with his knee issue. So Avery Bradley moved into the starting lineup and went crazy. 27 points with 7 threes, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, 40 minutes. He's a must-own player everywhere. He was coming off the bench, even in this bigger role, clearly. Evan Turner's another guy you want to look at. 32 minutes for Turner, 13-7-3 with 2 steals. He's going to have use for the next 2 weeks. We've seen it already this season, and we saw it again today. Jared Sullinger got 30 minutes, so that's a great positive for him. 9-10 with a 3 and 3 assists. He's a must-own guy. Amir Johnson, just 18 minutes, though. So to me, he's clearly not as much of a must-own. But what that meant is we saw more Kelly Olynyk, so I did like that. 19 minutes for Olynyk, 8 points, 2 threes, 2 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. Still don't think that Kelly Olynyk's a guy you want in 12-team leagues, but he's someone that you need to keep such a close eye on. You need to see what's going to happen there. Jay Crowder played 26 minutes, a bit of a down night for Crowder, 5-2-2. Just hold if you own him, and Don't panic too much. On to the Nets. Big victory for them. Jarrett Jack, 22-4-4. Joe Johnson, 17-4-4. And Brook Lopez, 23-10. All their good players putting up big numbers. And Thaddeus Young having 11-12 as well. So they're starting five, producing some really nice numbers. Joe Johnson's available on waiver wires. Yeah, he can be used by 12-team league teams. There's no doubt in my mind that he can do that. He started off the season terribly with some really bad shooting, and I stressed early on that a lot of it was to do with his shooting, but he's giving you 4.5 assists, which is basically point guard level. He's giving you 4.5 rebounds. He's giving you a 3 a game. So he's helping in those areas. Now, the points are not good. The field goal percentage is not good. The free throws are pretty decent. And he's a really low turnover guy as well. So depending on the way your team looks, Joe Johnson has a place. And it doesn't always have to be on your team, but don't completely discount Joe Johnson. We saw had an Andrea Bargnani sighting here. 21 minutes for Bargnani, 12 points, 3 rebounds, not much else. That's a pretty stock standard Bargnani line. And I forgot to mention this the other day, but this is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. And you've probably heard me rant about showcasing people for trades before. But the rumor came out that Sergei Karasev, yeah, big name Sergei Karasev, he's demanding a trade. His dad's demanding a trade because he's not getting playing time, which, you know, Karasev later came out and denied. And then the next game, shockingly enough, he played like 25 minutes after playing about a combined 5 minutes for the whole season. And everyone's come out, oh, they're showcasing for a trade. I've talked about this before, and I've talked about my dislike of Lionel Hollins as a coach. That, to me, is just... It is just so... It is baffling to me. If anyone gets fooled by that and goes, wow, Sergei Karasev, 24 minutes, what a player. Let's give up assets for him. The other GMs surely were going, come on, Billy. We know who Sergei Karasev is. You don't have to go out there, force feed him the ball, playing 24 minutes for one game and think we're going to offer you stuff. Are they that dumb? Surely there's no one that dumb. You know who the only GM dumb enough to fall for that is? The Nets, if someone did it to them. It is the most baffling situation to me. If I was a GM, I'd be sitting there and I'd be doing a bit of an elbow nudge to the guy next to me. Look at these guys. Are they serious? They think they're fooling me? That Sergei Karasev hasn't played a minute all season and now he requests a trade and he's out there for 24. Look at him go. What a baller. Best player in the world. Oh, Sergei Karasev. Let's throw everything at him. They have to think, and maybe these teams are run by idiots. I don't think they are. But there's obviously a few of them in the league that think that that's going to work, and it is completely insane to me. And I just need to get that off my chest because I forgot to do it the other day. So thank you for listening to that rant. I'm sure most of you disagree with it, but it just pisses me off no end. The Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. My boy, Darren Williams. 26-6, 2 threes, 1 steal, 1 block. For God's sake, if Darren Williams isn't owned in your league... Get a new league and add him to your team. The second guy who has to be owned in every league is Zaza Pachulia. 34 minutes for Pachulia. 12-10-6, 3 blocks and a steal. He's been fantastic. I don't think there's any way that you could say that he hasn't. He's had a stack of double-doubles this year. He's averaging so many more rebounds than we've ever seen. He's averaging 10 rebounds a game, 10 points, a steal, 2 assists, half a block, 47% and 77%. He's a must-own player in 10 and 12 team leagues. He's not going to get challenged for minutes, except JaVale McGee's back. Yes, JaVale McGee is back. 11 minutes for McGee, super productive. 8 points, 6 rebounds in 11 minutes. Now, is JaVale McGee taking any minutes off Zaza Pachulia? Probably not, but what he did do is he took minutes off our boy Dwight Powell. Powell played just 13 minutes, strictly as the backup to Dirk Nowitzki, not playing backup center because McGee's playing backup center now. So, let's wait one more game, but if we own Powell in 12-team leagues, it's going to be pretty close to cutting him. 13 points and 2 steals from Dwight Powell is still an awesome return, and if Dirk goes down, he's going to blow up. But if he's restricted to playing just backup behind Dirk and no center and 13 minutes, there's clearly no point in 12-team leagues. You can't stash guys like that unless you've got a really deep bench. So JaVale back has an impact on Powell. I don't think it impacts Pachulia, but JaVale putting up some really big numbers, and they need a rim protector. Even if it's for 10 or 12 minutes a game, they need someone who can go in there and block shots. And McGee, he didn't block any here, but that's what he can do. So it's good to see him back. He is a guy who cops a lot of scorn from people. But when he's going and when he's playing, he actually can be a really useful fantasy producer. Chandler Parsons played 24 minutes, 12 points with a couple of threes. Not a great night from him, but okay. Same as Dirk. Dirk only took 7 shots in this game. A little bit weird. 11 points for him in 34 minutes. Two rebounds and 3 assists. So not his greatest night. While Wes Matthews had 4 threes for 18 points in 32 minutes. You're pretty happy with that output from Wes Matthews. Still not a guy that I think is a must-own in 10-team leagues. In a 12-team league, you probably still want to own him, though. On to the Thunder. Russell Westbrook, huge. Just missed out on the monstrous line of the night. 31, 5, and 11. 5 steals, a block, and 2 threes on superb shooting. He did have 7 turnovers. But another big game from Westbrook with no Kevin Durant. Durant should be back for tomorrow's game, but that's still not official yet. So we need to look at, you know, Westbrook for DFS in that sort of situation. Dion Waiters got another start for Durant, 14 points with a couple of threes. Not a bad night from him. And Anthony Morrow had 14 points off the bench. Now, both those guys go back to unownable clearly when Durant comes back. And Morrow's not even really ownable now. Serge Ibaka, 16-9 with a block. He'd been really struggling before this game, so good to see him getting back in business. And 12-7 from Enes Kanter is an okay sort of night. Stevie Adams, 25 minutes for him, 6-4-3, not the greatest of performances. And Andre Robertson played a massive 33 minutes, and yeah, he's like Alonzo G. He just does nothing. Although 7-4 with 2 threes and 2 blocks is sort of okay, but there's no chance that we're owning Andre Robertson in anything outside of the deepest leagues. I don't even know if he's owned in our Red Rock Dynasty 400 team league. He might not be owned. The Golden State Warriors and the Denver Nuggets. Warriors just had it going again. Steph Curry, 19-4-7. Not his greatest performance, but he still went 8 of 16 from the field. 7 assists, 3 steals. Pretty good effort. Harrison Barnes had a good night. 17-3-4 with 3 steals. Iggy went 12-3-4 with 4 steals and a couple of threes. Draymond went 13-7-4. Klay Thompson went 21-3-7. So even Klay Thompson's getting back in business. And the Warriors between Iguodala, Barnes, Curry, Green, and Thompson hit 14 threes between those 5 guys, which is a pretty huge amount. Andrew Bogut had a really productive night in only his 18 minutes. He played 18 and went 8-6 with 3 blocks, but it's interesting here. He played 18 minutes. Festus Ezeli played 12, so that's 18 minutes at center left. Now, Maurice Spates played a little bit. Michael McAdoo played a little bit, but they also went with that really small lineup of Iguodala, Barnes, Curry, Green, and Thompson, and it's the best lineup in the league, and they're going to have to start running it a little bit more. And that's going to limit Bogut and Ezeli for standard leagues if they continue to do that. And this is a sign of that trend moving that way. They didn't even equal up 30 minutes between their 2 centers. As I said, Spates played a little bit, McAdoo a little bit. McAdoo's not a center. And Spates is barely a center. They went with Barnes, not Barnes, they went with Green at center. And it's the best lineup in the league. The Denver Nuggets. No Kenneth Faried. So what we saw is Darrell Arthur get the start. 21-8 for Darrell Arthur with a 3. That's great. And maybe if Faried misses again, we use him in daily, but I don't think we need to look at adding him anywhere. But Nikola Jokic, that's his second good game in the last 3. 11-11, 2 steals and a block. I think that he's a guy that you want to own in 12-team leagues. I do own him in a couple of 12-team leagues. I think that he needs to be owned at this point because we don't really know when Yusuf Nurkic is coming back. Joffrey Lavernia has been out for a while. It's always been said by anyone close to Denver that Jokic is a better player than Lavernia. If he establishes himself at the starting center, I don't see Lavernia getting back into that role. JJ Hickson's trash, and he played an appropriate 10 minutes today. So Jokic is in line for 25 to 30 minutes most nights until we see Lavernia and Nurkic back. So he's someone that, you know, you might get 3 or 4 weeks out of. So I think you got to own him. You obviously have to own Will Barton, 19-6 with a steal and a block in 28 minutes. And the shooting is still insane for him. 7 of 10 from the field. I don't know when this is going to stop. At some point, he's going to crash down. He's not going to be this good a shooter. And I said this about Jeremy Lamb as well. These guys that can't shoot and never have been able to shoot, starting this season off red hot, Kent Bazemore's another one, it has to come down. It just can't last like this. He's, you know, a 50% shooter this year, when he's every other season, 43, 42, 38. He shot 42 in preseason, and he's just red hot to start the season. These sort of things have to come back down, but while it's happening, you definitely have to ride it. Emmanuel Mudiay had another good night, 17-2-8 with a 1-1. You don't like 6 of 21 shooting, but the fact that he hit all 4 of his free throws is pretty impressive. And still, for him, his rotisserie value is pretty limited due to those percentages. Danilo Gallinari hurt your percentages as well. 4 of 16 for 19 points. 6 rebounds and 2 assists is a decent night. And Gary Harris is someone we do need to pay attention to for 12-team leagues. 34 minutes for Harris. 12-3-3 with a 3 and a steal. He's put up some really nice numbers in the last couple of weeks, or last week especially. He's averaging 16 points, 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 1.3 steals on 57% shooting. Now we talk about Will Barton having a big jump in his shooting. Gary Harris has gone from 30% last season to 50% this year. Now 30% is obviously way under what he's like as a shooter, but 50% is too high. He's probably just going to settle as a mid-40 or 44 sort of percent guy, so it's going to come down a little bit, but he's playing really well at the moment, and if you want to make a speculative add in a 12-team league, I don't really hate it. He looks like he's got this starting job locked down. He's going to play 30 minutes. Will Barton's going to play 27 minutes off the bench. Yeah, Kostas Papanikolaou's not playing, Randy Foy's not playing much, and there's no one else that's really got to come back into that lineup. They look like they're going to get set for that 30-minute role each, and that can be useful. The next game, the last game, the Portland Trailblazers and the Los Angeles Lakers. Damian Lillard, 30 points, 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 13 assists, 2 steals, and a block. 13 assists is Lillard's career high, which doesn't seem that high, but it is. It's his career high. A huge night from him. And CJ McCollum also with a big night. 19, 4, and 5. A couple of steals, a couple of blocks, and 3 3-pointers. Obviously, these guys are leading this team. Mason Plumlee is really turning it on as well. 17 and 11, 4 assists. And the assists aren't fluky from Plumlee. He's being used a lot more as a distributor out of the post. So the assist numbers will be bigger than what he's had throughout his career, I'm pretty sure. Adds in a steal and a block, and also goes 5 of 6 from the line. So a really good performance from Plumlee. He's a must-own guy to me as well. A bit quiet from Aminu, El-Farouq Aminu, 10 and 6 with a block and a 3, but not a horrible night. Noel Vonleh started, did nothing, as per usual, 17 minutes. Ed Davis back down to 18 minutes, 9, 3 and 3. So we saw that big night that he had against the Clippers. It just doesn't appear that that's going to be something that can happen going forward. The rest of the minutes went to Mo Harkless, who played 25. Alan Crabb played 26. Gerald Henderson played 18. So there's nothing there that's really all that exciting. What is exciting in Los Angeles? 35 minutes for Jordan Clarkson, 36 minutes for D'Angelo Russell. Byron Scott made a decision to not play Lou Williams as the backup point guard. The fact that it took him this long to realize that Lou Williams should not be a backup point guard, when you've got two actual point guards on your team in Clarkson and Russell, is just, again, testament to the idiocy that is Byron Scott. But he made the decision and played big minutes for these guys. Clarkson, 19 and 4. D'Angelo Russell, 13, 9 and 6. You have to own Russell now. He might have some bad nights, but the minutes are definitely trending up. The performance is trending up. He has to be owned at this point. And Roy Hibbert, 7 and 8 with 4 blocks. A good night from him. Lou Williams was actually pretty good. 14 points in 25 minutes, and he's just a nice source of points and threes off the bench. 13 and 13 for Randall with not much else, and that's a pretty stock standard line. And Kobe Bryant just obliterating percentages. 0 of 5 from 3. 6 of 22 from the field, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. He's really nice in the counting stats, but his value in Roto is killing you, and if you're not punting field goal percentage, it's really tough to deal with Kobe Bryant at this point. All right, it's time for a break now, and then we'll be back to talk daily fantasy for Monday. I saw ya. Back now to talk about the games for Monday. There are 7 games on, so let's have a look at them. Pretty obvious thing to do, isn't it? The first game of the night, let's see if I bring this up on my screen, the Sacramento Kings and the Charlotte Hornets. Hornets are favored by 4.5, but there are a number of injuries we need to pay attention to. Rudy Gay is questionable for the Kings with that shoulder issue. If he misses, then Omri Caspi gets a boost, and he becomes the guy that you want to look at in seasonal to stream in as well, and in daily fantasy. For the Hornets, though, Cody Zeller is questionable, and PJ Harrison is questionable. Now, both of those guys, if Zeller misses, Kaminsky gets increased value, definitely. And if Harrison misses, it becomes Jeremy Lamb and Jeremy Lin. Hairston's not much of a factor anyway, but he might take 10 minutes away from both of those guys, which, you know, overall, it might just reduce their overall viability. There are a couple of good value plays here in this one, though. I really like Marvin Williams at 5,100. He's been putting up some pretty decent numbers. He put up 27 in the last game at 5,100 against the Kings team, who's going to be without one of their better players. I like him, or most likely without. Nick Batum at 6,800, I also think is a very solid play. He's had a couple of struggles of late. What he's done this season, whenever he struggled, though, he's tend to break out with a pretty big night. So at 6,800, I think Nick Batum's in line for, you know, a really good night against the Kings team again, who gives up points to opposition small forwards. A punt play in this one is Costa Kufos. He's priced at only 3,800. He played 21 minutes in the last game and put up 20 points. He's actually averaging 18.5 points over his last three. And at 3,800, if he gives you 18.5 points, that's pretty much a job done for him. So as stupid as it may sound to put Costa Kufos in, he's just giving you that 18 fantasy points, and he's not going to have a big ceiling, but he's a nice, cheap option if you want to go that route. Boogie Cousins is awesome, 10,600 for him. He's averaging 52.6 across his last three. He had a 60-point game in there as well. He pretty much has to be Rossi, one of the best high-priced guys on the board for tomorrow. Jeremy Lin, I said, at 4,600, he's not a bad guy to have a look at. And Jeremy Lamb at 4,600 as well has been averaging almost 20 points across his last three. Darren Collison's an interesting one. He's had three real struggles since coming back from injury. He's priced at 5,200. It might be a little bit expensive for him, but I think in this situation, he can be a pretty decent player. Marco Bellinelli, 3,800. In a similar situation to Costa Kufos, he's averaging 18 points in his last three, so he's not a bad guy, especially if Rudy Gay is out. And I mentioned Omri Caspi before. Rajon Rondo is averaging 42.4 in his last three games. He's priced at 8,000, so that's 8,000 is expensive. You need him to give you about 40 points at that sort of price point, maybe a little bit less. Can he do it? It depends if they're going to run him out 40 minutes again, because they've been doing that lately. And I think if Gay is out, then Rondo will probably play 40 minutes. And then at 8,000, he's a solid play. He's not a must play, but I think that there is a little bit of value in him. Ben McLemore's minutes have been going up, but he hasn't really been producing. So even at 3,700, it remains only a tournament option. And Frank Kaminsky is someone to have a little bit of a look at 3,700 if Cody Zeller is out. He's averaged almost 18 points in his last three, put up 21 in the last one, and that's really good value at 3,700. So the numbers are small, but at that little a salary, that's doing pretty much exactly what you need him to do at that spot. The next game is the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The biggest thing we need to have a look at here is the status of Mo Williams, because if Mo Williams plays, I think he's got pretty good value in this game at 6,200. He should be able to have a nice night against an Orlando team which allows a stack of points to point guards, so he'd be worth a look. But if he is out, then Matthew Dellavedova at 4,200 becomes one of the biggest must-play guys of the day, so we need to have a look at him. I like J.R. Smith in this one. He's been really hot lately, 23 in his last three, 5,100, not a bad salary. And LeBron at 10,100 is in a really nice place. He puts up generally some pretty good games against Orlando. The Cavs are favored by 9.5, so there is a bit of a blowout potential here, a total of only 196. But I think LeBron at 10,100, there aren't many high-priced guys on the board for this slate of games, so he's not a bad guy to take a look at. Tristan Thompson at 5,600, he's going to get big minutes because of Timofey Mozgov. He put up 37.7 in the last game. I think that he is someone you want to look at in quite a lot of lineups. And Kevin Love at 8,000 is pretty intriguing as well, because he'll get pretty solid minutes as well, and he's been so much more involved in the offense this season. Evan Fournier, 5,900, the only guy that's immune to Scott Skiles' minute fluctuation, averaging 35 over his last three. 5,900. You can't go wrong having him in, I don't think. Lord Alfred Payton's also been on fire, 39 minutes for him in his last three, averaging 33. He's still under 7,000, so he's not a bad guy to have a look at. Toby Harris is probably a little bit more risky, as is Victor Oladipo, as is Nikola Vucevic. I don't really know what's going to happen. They've been benched in the last two. I don't know what's going to go on with them in this one, whether they've learned a lesson, whether we know Skiles is an idiot. And I want to know from Orlando Magic people, if there's any Orlando Magic people listening, whether you're Orlando Magic fans, watchers, writers, whoever you are, what is the general Orlando Magic feeling? What is the Magic community, Magic supporter feeling on Skiles benching these guys? Is it like they deserve it, they've been sucking? or what is wrong with this guy? Because from here, sitting all the way in Melbourne, watching what's happening in Orlando, I just go, what's wrong with this guy? I'm so glad that they lost that last game, and I don't wish pain on you Magic fans, but I'm glad that they lost so that, you know, running out Channing Frye over Nick Vucevic and Victor Oladipo is batshit crazy. And I want to know what Magic people think about it, because you can send a message out to these guys, you know, you got to play my way or not, but when you're losing games, it doesn't have any effect. And these guys need to play. Their offensive abilities are that much more important to the team than what negative defensive deficiencies they might have. And do whatever you want, Skiles, but it's just a dumb move. For now, I don't think we can play these guys in daily fantasy, because we don't know what, you know, Skiles' current mood is going to be. And it makes it really hard to play most of these Magic guys, to be honest. But as I said, Evan Fournier been immune to it, and Lord Alfred Payton has been... It happened to him early in the season, but since then he's come on and he plays... Yeah, basically, when Skiles thinks the guy's playing well, he just plays in 40 minutes a night, and then that becomes really usable. CJ Watson is out of that game as well. The New York Knicks and the Miami Heat isn't up next. The Heat are favored by 5, got a total of 191.5, so a pretty decent total. And by decent, I mean a terrible total. Let's rephrase that. Chris Anderson should be back for the Heat, but he doesn't really impact things. Kristaps Porzingis, 6,300, averaging 38 across his last three, is a guy that you're going to want in most daily fantasy lumps. There's going to be a time when he struggles, but the Heat do allow above average points to power forwards. The pace of this game is not ideal, but at that salary, he still has to be used. Melo had a real stinker in the last game, but his price has dropped down to 9,000, so he becomes a lot more usable as well. And other guys in this game, not a lot to love, to be honest. Goran Dragic at 5,500, he's dropping. So it becomes a nice tournament option in case maybe he has a good game. Who knows? He hasn't had one all season. His maximum score for the season has been 32. And at 5,500, that's barely enough. Can he do it again? He's just been really, really, really struggling. So he's a tournament play, but no chance you want to look at him in a cash game. Hassan Whiteside is averaged 41 over his last three. He's priced at 8,500. I don't think I want to play him in this one, nor with Chris Bosh at 8,100, who's been good, but he's just not racking up enough daily fantasy points. Jose Calderon is a guy that in 12-team leagues you need to look at. In daily fantasy, I don't think we want to roster him. Same with Aaron Aflalo and guys like Langston Galloway. We can leave those guys alone for the most part. Philadelphia and Minnesota is up next. Now, there's a couple of streaks on the line here. The Timberwolves haven't won at home, I think, for... I want to make this up. Maybe it's 10 games, could be 14, I can't remember. And the Sixers are obviously winless for this season. Yeah, one of those streaks is going to be broken. The Timberwolves are either going to win at home or the Sixers are going to get their first victory. It'd be interesting to watch some of these young guys go up against each other. The Timberwolves are favored by 7. The total is 198. Rishon Holmes is going to be active for the Sixers, so that doesn't really impact much. Nemanja Bjelica is likely out for the Timberwolves, so that has somewhat of an impact, but... The big change in Minnesota is that Tayshaun Prince is finally out of the starting lineup. And again, to me, why does everybody, like literally everybody, watching the NBA as commentators, as fans, as supporters of the Timberwolves, as supporters of other teams, as fantasy owners, as whoever, realize that it is a stupid idea to start Tayshaun Prince and Kevin Garnett? Prince was washed up 5 years ago. Garnett has been done for 2 years. Why would you start Tayshaun Prince? And now Sam Mitchell's gone, oh yeah, probably not the best idea. Like, no shit, mate. Like, as if anybody couldn't tell that it's not a good idea to get two guys who are zeros out there starting, and a guy like Prince who was washed up 4 years ago. He's out of the starting lineup. Kevin Martin is back in. Hooray for common sense. And hopefully, and again, this happens so often when there's a guy who shouldn't be starting and goes out of the starting lineup, they go out of the rotation. Hopefully this means Prince is out of the rotation, because that means that Shabazz Muhammad's going to get more minutes. Now, Sam Mitchell's already said that Shabazz is going to get a big uptick in minutes. So at 3,500, I think you'd be remiss to not put him in a tournament, because we know that he can go pretty big. And at 3,500, if he just gives you 25 points, you're done. And he can go out and score literally 25 on-court points. aside from getting, 7 or 8 rebounds or whatever he can do. At 3,500, Shabazz becomes an awesome option. 7,200 for Karl Anthony Towns. The price keeps rising. His play keeps rising. I still like him. Gorgui Dieng's a guy who's been getting a few more minutes, not huge amounts. He's played 21 on average in his last three, and he's averaging almost 21 points. And at 4,000, that's not too bad. And I do like Ricky Rubio here. Now, he's priced at 7,100, but he's against a putrid Sixers backcourt. He could easily have a triple-double in 25 minutes against this team. So I like Ricky Rubio at 7,100. On the Sixers side of things, Jahlil Okafor at 6,400 is intriguing. I don't like Nerlens Noel at 65. Robert Covington's been playing a lot better, and he's still priced at 56. So this could be an opportunity to get Robert Covington into a daily fantasy lineup. And Andrew Wiggins at 7,200. He's averaged 34 over the last three, but I still don't know if that's enough for me to roster him at 7,200. Kevin Martin's minutes should be up here at 4,600. Yeah, look, he's definitely worth a look because he could get hot. He could play 35 minutes. So he's worth a look. TJ McConnell at 5,000 is not someone I'm all that interested in. But Zach LaVine at 5,700 is. So I think that he might see himself getting a couple more minutes as well. He'd be someone who's got a little bit of potential, but I'm interested. I'm not overly interested in him. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Detroit Pistons is up next. The Pistons are favored by 2. We've got a total of 191. No real injuries to really mention in this game. Fantasy value, I like Ersan Ilyasova. Going back to play against his former team in Milwaukee, he's priced at 4,500. Van Gundy's been ramping his minutes up. He played 33 in the last one, and he had 26 fantasy points. If he has 26 fantasy points at 4,500, it's a big win. So, and against a Bucks team who allows a stack of fantasy points to power forwards, I like him in this spot. Andre Drummond at 9,700, he's come down under 10,000. He's been a little bit quiet of late, averaging only 38.9. Don't know, there's a little bit of value for him here, but not really. Marcus Morris at 6,200, not a big fan of him. Greg Monroe has been struggling of late. If you think he's going to turn it around, by all means, but look, maybe there's a revenge factor for Greg Monroe. There's a chance of that as well, that he goes out there against Andre Drummond and puts up a big night. So if you believe in that, you've got to spend $7,700 to do it, though. I don't mind Reggie Jackson at $7,800. He's averaged 37 over his last three. You'd want him to do around that to have value. And there's not many high-priced point guards on the board, but the Bucks do shut down opposition point guards from their fantasy production. So it's not a great option for Reggie Jackson in this game. Jared Bayless is not a bad option as well, but the return of OJ Mayo makes him a little bit more of an uncertain player. The Phoenix Suns and the San Antonio Spurs. There is no spread for this one. LaMarcus Aldridge is questionable. If he is out, I don't think we need to really worry about David West or Boris Diaw. Value-wise, again, we just have to keep looking at Danny Green. He's at 4,100. His price keeps going down. Eventually, I'm going to stop thinking a big game's coming, but I still think a big game's coming. So at 4,100, he's worth a look in a tournament, definitely. And Kawhi Leonard at 8,500, if Aldridge is out, not someone who's not a terrible option, even though the price is 8,500. Markieff Morris turned it around in today's game, 5,300 for him. I think that's a really solid price. And Eric Bledsoe at 8,400, I reckon, is nice too. Brandon Wright at 8,000. I said Brandon Wright? Brandon Knight is who I meant. Against the Spurs, I don't love that, nor do I love, obviously, guys like Tyson Chandler or PJ Tucker. And the Spurs old guys, Parker, Duncan, Ginobili, I'm not sure there's a massive... Ginobili not a bad value play, but the other guys, not so much. The last game of the night is the Thunder and the Jazz. There is no spread for this because Kevin Durant's status has not been determined. But it's a Utah game, so we know the spread is... We know the total is going to be low. But there's some value on Utah to me. Rodney Hood at 4,700 is worth a look. Alec Burks at 5,400 is also worth a look. They're both averaging that 24 to 25 point range. And at their salaries, they can produce value. Hood's been really good lately, getting a stack of minutes, averaging 36 over the last three. I think he's in a nice spot here. Gordon Hayward's been turning it around at 6,600. Rudy Gobert is now getting down to the stage where we can start looking at him at 7,300. I'm still not overly excited about him at that price, but he's getting, if he gets under 7,000, which the way his play is going, he could, then he becomes intriguing to use. Derek Favors at 8,100. Look, only averaging 33 his last three, 36 in his last five. Not really an ideal spot for him. And obviously, if Durant is out, we have to consider Russell Westbrook. But at 11,900, going up against the Jazz, who just don't give up points to opposition point guards, it's not a great situation to spend $12,000 on Russell Westbrook, I don't think. So I would probably be avoiding him even if Kevin Durant doesn't play. All right, let's now bring up my daily fantasy plays for the day. There we go. So at point guard, Jeremy Lin at 4,600, I think he's a valuable guy. Ricky Rubio at 7,100 and Reggie Jackson, the high price guy at 78. But even then, not sure it's a great option for Jackson. Shooting guards, the two Jazz guys, Rodney Hood at 47, Alec Burks at 54, and then Eric Bledsoe at 8,400. Small forward Shabazz Muhammad at 3,500 is definitely an awesome option in a tournament. Nick Batum at 68, and then Kawhi Leonard at 8,500. Power forwards, we've got Ersan Ilyasova at 45, Marvin Williams at 5,100, and Kevin Love at 8,000. And for the centers, we go Kostas Kufos at 3,800, Karl Anthony Towns at 7,200, and DeMarcus Cousins at 10,600. That does it for the daily fantasy plays for Monday. Make sure you are checking out basketballmonster.com, hardwoodparoxysm.com, and me on Twitter, redrock_beeble. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review, and also subscribe on YouTube. It's even if you don't watch it on YouTube, go ahead on YouTube, find the channel, which you can find through my links on Twitter or on the webpage. Click on YouTube and just subscribe to it. Just help me get those subscription numbers up. Any subscriptions or reviews and rankings that you guys do anywhere really helps the podcast attract sponsors, and I'm really trying to get some more sponsors happening at the moment to help, you know, push this thing along and help, you know, fund things and get more equipment and better video setups and lighting and all that sort of stuff. But I need help from the sponsors to do that. So if you guys could go and help me out in that respect, it would be greatly appreciated. All right, good luck setting your lineups for this week. Good luck in daily fantasy tomorrow. Check out moneyball.com.au, of course. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.